If you would be turning with me in your Bibles over to the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 7, and today we are continuing for the last time in our sermon series of the Sermon on the Mount that we started back in the month of April, there at the beginning of April. Including today, we'll have spent 21 weeks, 21 different subjects in this sermon series that begins at the beginning of chapter 5 and takes us all the way through the end of chapter 7. And I hope and pray that as we went through this sermon series, that it has been a blessing to you along the way. I can honestly say that next week as we get up to preach, whatever that might be, that I'm going to miss the Sermon on the Mount. I've really enjoyed this series. It's been challenging to me. We've looked at a lot of different Christian topics, things that we don't normally speak about sometimes, things that we avoid speaking about because we don't like to upset people, that kind of stuff. So sermon series like this tend to push us into preaching exactly what is here for us in the text and the things that we truly do stand in need of. Now, the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at choices that Christ has set before us to follow after the broad road or to walk along the narrow path. A choice between following after wolves in sheep's clothing or rather to follow after those who show forth good fruit in their lives. Then Christ, as we get to this point here, now lays it all on the table before us and gives us two more choices. Two more choices. Two foundations. The song service this afternoon revolved around one of these choices. It involved the rock. I don't know if you noticed it or not, but that rock is our firm foundation. That rock is a solid rock to stand upon. It is a shelter in the time of storm. We've been singing about this true foundation, this rock, all afternoon. And surely it is a true foundation that we can build our lives upon today. Now, let's read our text in its entirety, beginning in verse 24 of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. It will be to the end of the chapter in verse 29. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will like him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." These words that we have read, like many of the words of the Sermon on the Mount, but this one in particular, are words that are probably familiar to most people here, especially those that have grown up in the house of God. We learn of this, these verses in our Sunday school classes growing up. When we're very young, we sing the song associated with it that we all know. But let's not let our familiarity with this scripture ruin what Christ has for us here. So often, in times, we look at a piece of scripture that we think we know well, and we skip over it because we think we know it that well. But there's something here for all of us today, no matter how long you've been sitting in the house of God. Now, let's look in verse 24 again. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Again, once again, as we look at this verse, we see that he opens up with that word, therefore. The word therefore. He uses that word a lot during this sermon series. And here, Christ is not just referring back to the verse before or, you know, a few verses before. Here, as he says, therefore, as he comes to this conclusion, he is speaking about everything that he has said so far. Now, again, it's been a while since we have started this series. So I want to consider for a few moments some of the things that Christ has spoken to us during this time. Things that might have escaped your mind already. Well, after the Beatitudes, the first thing that Christ told us as servants was that we ought to be a light unto the world. That we ought to be light bearers. That we ought to be the salt of this earth. You remember that? God has appointed to us to be His people, His ambassadors in this world. And He expects us indeed to go out and to show His light, to share His gospel with others. Then Christ began to speak about the law on several different subjects. And Christ told us, of course, that when He came to this earth, that He did not come to destroy the law, but He came to fulfill the law. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He fulfilled every little jot, every little tittle. That means to the smallest decree, every small minuscule thing He fulfilled here upon this earth. Christ, as you look at this sermon and He speaks about the law, He does not cast away the law, but He gets back into the heart of the law, what God intended. You might recall that the Pharisees would take the law and they would add a little bit to it. And another rabbi would come and he would add a little bit to it. And it would become layers and layers. And eventually, they would have all these loopholes or they would have all these other things that went along to where it negated what the original law of God was. So we see that Christ got back to the heart. The heart of our relationship with God and man in keeping the law. Now, what do I mean by that? It means that we have to get our hearts right. You see, the heart, that is where sin comes from. Christ called us to put off sin before it grew into something else. Remember, we are to put off anger before it turns into bitterness, into resentment, or even physical harm. To put off the thought of looking and fantasizing over others before it leads to acts of adultery and divorce. He taught us to love our enemies, and if we have wronged anyone, the first thing that we are to do is to go and to seek forgiveness. We can't make people forgive us, but we are required to seek it. As we moved on into chapter 6, Christ continued with the purest of heart when it came to worship. He gave us some things that should be in the life of every Christian. Again, He would say, when you do this. It was not if, but when you do this. And when you do it, you were to do it for the glory of God. Things like alms, which is what? Alms was the giving to those who were in need, whether it be money or food or service or whatever it might be. Again, not just a handout, but a hand up, right? As Brother Greg was talking about earlier. Along with this, we looked at how to pray and to fast. Again, things that should be in the life of every Christian. And when we do them how? We do so in order to glorify God. And Christ reminded us that if we do any of these things for the praise of men, rather than for the glory of God, that we have already received our reward. So many people today put on a religious air to them, put on their religious clothes, and they go through the motions from week to week because they desire to have that approval of man. It might be the approval of your mother. It might be the approval of your father. It might be the approval of somebody else in your family. It might be the approval of people down the street. But they go through the motions. in order to be seen of others. And God says they've already had their reward. The close of chapter 6 brought us some of the loveliest words in the Sermon on the Mount as Christ spoke about the nature of our anxieties. So often in life we worry about what's going to happen to us, whether we're going to have enough from day to day, whether we're going to keep it together for another day. Christ assured us that God sees our needs and He cares for us. And just as God cares to feed the birds of the sky and to clothe the flower of the field, He cares for us just the same. And then we came to chapter 7, where we've been planted at now for a few weeks, and we began with Christ speaking about how we should treat others. And we should treat others with love and respect at all times. If it is that our brother or sister in our eyes seems to have some kind of failing, we need to first look at ourselves before we try to correct another. And that we should only try correction when we first looked at ourselves and when we seek to build up that person and not to tear them down. And then Christ began to tell us the reality of the situation. You see, man is born on a road that leads to destruction. There is only one way off that road, and that one way is Jesus Christ. He is the door, He is the gate to that narrow path that leads to everlasting life. And it is the responsibility, it is truly the responsibility of all men to choose correctly, because there will be no bartering with God when it comes to judgment. We will not be able to stand before Him and say, "But I've done this and I've done that." If you're not on the path, that narrow path, if you didn't get there through Christ, there will be no other chance. And then last week, Christ taught us that we as Christians must be aware of those who might stand before us and teach and preach things that are not becoming of the Word of God. They will outwardly look like a saint of God, but on the inside, their hearts have never been changed, and they are indeed wolves in sheep's clothing. And last week we read some of the most sobering words indeed in this message. That as these people will stand before Christ, there at the judgment of the great white throne, those that have put their faith in other things, those who have led congregations and led them astray, will meet the same judgment as everybody else that's on that broad road that leads to destruction. So, when Christ here in verse 24 says, "Therefore, that is what He means. Therefore, remember." We are to remember all these things. All of these things. That is what He's getting at before we get in to what He says next. Now, look here again. He says, "Whomsoever heareth these sayings of mine." Now, I want you to know, from the very beginning of this sermon, as He spoke those words of the Beatitudes, the primary audience that Jesus is speaking to are believers. The message of the Sermon on the Mount is not really one that is meant for unbelievers until we get to the end and Christ starts laying out the choices. The message was spoken primarily to those that were trusting in God. These were Old Testament saints, actually, at the time. They didn't quite yet fully understand the nature of Jesus and who He was, and didn't quite understand everything that went along with His incarnation and deity. But they will. They will when the time comes and the Spirit reveals. Because the Spirit reveals the words of the shepherd to the sheep. Again, Scripture says in John 10, 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." All those who are saved by the grace of God will not just hear, they will indeed follow. And as they follow, they will indeed do. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and following says, "And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He hath said, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in Him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to so walk, even as He walked." So Christ tells us here in verse 24 of Matthew 7 that if you hear Me and do as I say, that you are like a wise man. Now think about that, folks. Isn't that something to think, that Jesus Christ would call you a wise man? That's pretty special. He calls us a wise man because we're like a man who builds his house upon a rock. And Christ here, of course, is speaking in parable form at this time. He is illustrating a spiritual truth by giving us a physical example that the people understood, and something that we understand just the same today, because it's just as important today to build your house on a solid foundation as it was then. Now, in my life, I have never built a house. Some of you all have. I can't imagine taking on the task of it. I can hardly, finish a task on remodeling or something, you know. I have a hard time with it. If it's not for somebody else doing it, probably doesn't get done. But one thing I do know is when people build a house, the first thing that they do is they dig a footer. They dig a footer and then they put block on top of it. And they put that block on that firm foundation, that level foundation, because they desire the house to stand. And that is the same principle that we have here. Luke in his gospel even expresses the term as digging down deep into that rock. Because there is indeed an effort that is involved in planting oneself on the rock. And as we look at these verses, we understand the spiritual application, of course, is that Jesus Christ is the rock. And He is an unchanging rock. He is an invincible rock. And in this rock, we still yet find comfort and provision and safety and so much more. So if Jesus is the rock, what is the house? What is the house that is spoken of here? Well, your life is the house. The person that you have built yourself up to be, so to say. It is all-encompassing of who you are. It is your character, your integrity, your hopes, your fears. It's all of who you are. That is the house that you're building upon the rock. And if you go through this life and your character, your integrity, your hopes, and your fears are firmly planted on the rock which is Jesus Christ, then you truly are a wise person. Look with me here in verse 25. It says, "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." It's almost hard to read that verse without singing the Sunday school song. The rains came down, and the floods came up, right? But again, here the illustration is easy enough for us to understand. We've all seen bad rains, and some of us have experienced floods, and maybe some of you all have even experienced tornadoes or hurricanes and that kind of thing. But a house that is built on a strong and steady foundation of the right material will stand firm. Sure, it might have some damage along the way. It might lose some shutters, might break some windows, the door might open, the flood might come in one door and right out the back. Leave a mess to clean up. Y'all seen floods like that. Maybe been in a house that went through a flood like that. But a house, still yet, that is built upon the rock will stand firm. And hopefully you see the spiritual application that is there as well. You see, in our life there are all kinds of storms that come upon us. There are storms of illness. There are storms of financial strains. There are storms within our families with family issues. There are all kinds of storms that happen in the life of Christians. Sometimes it seems like in life there's more storms than there are clear skies. And I imagine sometimes in your life that the storms have hit in such succession that you've probably uttered the words as you were coming out of one storm. You were probably uttering the words, "I wonder what's coming next." Because it seems like it's one thing right after another. As much as we wish, when the Lord saved us, He never said on this earth that our lives were going to be free of storms. Never said our life was going to be like a walk in the roses. And it's not. As long as we are in the flesh, we are going to suffer fleshly things. We're going to suffer the things that happen right along with this world. And we're going to experience times of illness and pain, and we're going to suffer through many things. Why? Because this body is dying every day. Unless the Lord comes back and takes us home in the rapture, we've all got to die to get out of here. Everybody wants to get to heaven. Nobody wants to die to get there. That's the way we are. But listen, we're going to go through times of disappointment because life isn't like what we'd have it to be, because of failures of other people, people even that we hold to be the closest to us. We're all going to experience trials sent from God to help mold us as a Christian. We're going to experience temptation from Satan to try to destroy our testimony before others or destroy our confidence in God. Let's just face it, folks, in our lives, we're going to weather all kinds of situations and all kinds of storms. And sometimes we might find ourselves right in the middle of a Category 5 hurricane. Sometimes it might seem like we're going to just lose it all. Have you been there? Let's get real. But brothers and sisters, if we have built our lives on the rock, we don't have to worry about falling, folks, because we are founded upon a rock which cannot move. We are founded upon a rock where we can find safety in its cleft. We are founded upon a rock that we can have peace even in the midst of the storm and find comfort as it rages around us. There, we will not be moved. There, upon the rock, like Paul, we can say that we are content no matter what state we may find ourselves in. Let's read on in verse 26. It says, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand." And again, though Jesus Christ was primarily speaking to believers in the Sermon on the Mount, again, as we get to the end and He presents these choices, He's speaking to those that are lost as well. Those that have never been convinced in their heart of who God is and what He has done. Those that have never believed on Jesus Christ, as we would say today. And it didn't matter what Christ did here or what He said. For the most part, these people were not going to listen. Those that weren't His sheep anyway were certainly not going to listen. John 10, 25 and 26 again says, "Jesus answered him not, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you." those that will not hear His word and do His word, Christ calls foolish. And they are foolish because they are living this life, denying God and denying His Son day after day. They live however they desire to live. And whatever they want, they do, as long as it is pleasing to the flesh and fits into their paradigm and scheme of life. And all the time, they continue to walk on that broad road that leads to destruction. Christ here says the foolish of this earth are those like that build their house upon the sand. Luke puts it in a way that he says, building a life without foundation. You might say, would anybody really build a house without a foundation? Without a good, strong foundation? People do it every day. They do it physically and they do it spiritually. And that is why Christ goes on to say in verse 27, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Again, brothers and sisters, we see the physical application. We've all seen the videos of houses being washed downstream and houses being blown down from the winds of hurricanes. We've all seen them fall. Not too long ago, Heather and I went down to St. Martin where Hurricane Irma came through last fall and saw firsthand the damage that was done, a beach that was once lined with shanty after shanty for food services and things of that nature, all gone, completely gone, blown away. Because they weren't built to last. Again, you see the spiritual application here. You see the one that is walking through this life without Christ. They are walking through this earth without a firm foundation because they are walking without any foundation at all. And yes, they too are going to go through storms of this life. They too must weather them. Hard storms, just like we do. And yes, it might even seem that on this earth that they are weathering these storms just okay. But the verse is much deeper than that. You see, eventually, the foolish man, just like the wise man, is going to come to a point of death. And the man who founded his life, his character, everything of who he is upon the rock will be carried by the angels to the feet of Jesus. And the man who built his life upon the sand, a life without foundation, when he dies, will truly see the awful reality of that place we call hell. And to us, that is a very sobering thought. Because I don't know about you, but I don't want to see my children build their life upon the sands of this earth. I don't want to see my family fall into the pits of hell. I don't want to see their lives wash away like a house that's built on the sand. And I know that you don't want that for your family as well. And I know that you don't want that for your friends and your loved ones. That is why we always need to be telling the story of Christ. Everywhere we go, and to all who will listen. The fact of the matter is, today, you are either standing firmly on the rock, or you're standing on sinking sand. If you're standing on the rock, you're standing there because someone cared enough about you to share with you the greatest story ever told. And we need to do the same as well. We never know when God places one of His elect right in front of us. Again, let's look at these last two verses here. It says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine, For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. I don't have any idea how long it took Jesus to speak the words of this sermon. It's hard to imagine someone just sitting down and speaking all of this at one time and people actually understanding and receiving it all. It's been hard enough to receive it all in several months. But the people were amazed because of the way that he taught. He taught in a way that the people understood, but he taught differently from the Pharisees and from the scribes. They were used to hearing them speak about the traditions of the elders. They were used to them speaking about what Rabbi so-and-so said and what other Rabbi so-and-so said. Christ, though, cared very little about the traditions of men. Cared very little what Rabbi so-and-so used to say. He cared about the truth of the Word of God. And that's what he preached. And it seemed as though to them that he preached as one having authority, because he truly preached the Word of God like they had never heard it explained before. So today, as we come to an end, I want to ask you, what are you building your life upon? Have you built your life upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ? I pray today that your life is founded upon that rock, which cannot be moved. But if you aren't, again, there's only one other choice, and that is that you're building your life upon the sinking sands of this world, where things rot and rust and crumble apart. And one of these days, as that old song says, the rains are going to come, and the floods are going to come up, and the house that is built upon the sand will go splat. Great will be the fall of it. I hope that today you will trust in the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, and build your life upon that firm foundation.